Good morning. This is July 20th. I'm Wendy Bauer. I will be reading the second half hour from the Decatur Herald and Review today, July 20th. We will start with the obituaries and begin with Robert James Banning from Decatur. Robert James Banning, 71, of Decatur, passed away on Thursday, July 16th at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A memorial service to celebrate and honor his life will be held at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, July 21st, 2015, at Elwyn United Methodist Church. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. until service time at the church. A private family burial will be held at Graceland Cemetery at a later date. Memorials can be made to the Special Olympics Area Number 10 or Elwyn United Methodist Church. Mary Ann Forbes of Decatur. Mary Ann Forbes Hood, 60, of Decatur, passed away on Friday, July 17th, in Decatur. Mass of Christian burial will be celebrated at 11 a.m. Tuesday, July 21st, 2015, in Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, with Reverend Rick Welton as celebrant. Visitation will be 10 to 11 a.m. Tuesday in the church. Burial will be in Graceland Cemetery and conclude with the flight home ceremony. Memorials are suggested to Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Michael McElroy of Decatur. Michael Tuna McElroy, 63, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away on Friday, July 17th, 2015, at St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur. Public viewing will be held from 12 to 2 p.m. Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015, in Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, with a visitation for family and friends to follow from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the church. Concelebrated Mass of Christian burial will be 11 a.m. Thursday, July 23rd, 2015, at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Very Reverend Joseph M. Malloy, main celebrant. Private family burial will take place at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorials are suggested to St. Teresa High School Athletic Department. Wayne O. Noland of Moequa. Wayne O. Noland, 100, of Moequa, Illinois, passed away at 9 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, July 16, 2015, at St. Mary's Hospital. A service to celebrate Wayne's life will be held at 1 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, July 21, 2015, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Macon. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Tuesday. Wayne will be laid to rest next to his wife, Frida, at Macon County Memorial Park Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be directed to Sanner Chapel United Methodist Church or Habitat for Humanity. Forrest Jean Risser. Forrest Jean Risser, 83, passed away on Saturday, July 18, 2015, at his home in Lafayette. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, July 23, 2015, at Hippensteel Funeral Home, 822 North 9th Street, Lafayette, Indiana. Funeral service will follow on Friday, July 24, 2015, at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, with one-hour visitation prior to the service at St. Paul Lutheran Church, 511 South Walnut Street, Strasburg, Illinois. Pastor Stephen Becker will officiate. Interment will follow at the church cemetery. In lieu of usual remembrances, memorial contributions may be directed to the National Wildlife Federation. Please share online condolences and remembrances at www.hippensteelfuneralservice.com. Sandra Clark of Springfield. Sandra Clark, 56, of Springfield, died at 10:25 p.m. on Thursday, July 16th, 2015 at her home. Cremation was accorded by Lincoln Land Cremation Society. The family will host a celebration of life at 4 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, July 19th, 2015. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to GoFundMe.com/G8TI4S. Francis M. Covey. Francis M. Frank Covey of Hot Springs, Arkansas, formerly of Decatur, Illinois, died Thursday, July 2, 2015. Memorial service will be 10 a.m. Saturday, July 25th, at Carruth Hale Funeral Home Chapel, with Dr. Mark Kane officiating. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the charity of choice. William Thomas Ducharme of Decatur. William Thomas Bill Ducharme, 81, of Decatur, passed away Thursday, July 16, 2015, in Symphony of Decatur. Mass of Christian burial to celebrate Bill's life will be at 11 a.m. Monday, July 20, 2015, at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, Reverend Richard Welton, celebrant. Burial will be at a later date in Camp Butler National Cemetery in Springfield, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, memorials in memory of Bill may be made to Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church. Lois L. Good of Arcola. Lois L. Good, 81, of Arcola, Illinois, passed away at 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, July 18, 2015, at the Tuscola Health Care Center. Funeral services will be held at 2 o'clock p.m. on Monday, July 20th, at the Edwards Funeral Home. Pastor Aaron Booth will officiate. Burial will be at the Arcola Cemetery. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the funeral at the funeral home. Bonnie Louise Holloway of Decatur. Bonnie Louise Holloway, 59, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away Thursday, July 16, 2015, at Fair Havens Christian Home, Decatur. Funeral services will be 11 a.m. Tuesday, July 21st, at First Church of the Nazarene in Decatur, with visitation 1 hour prior to services at the church. Burial will be at Green Mound Cemetery, Keithsburg, Illinois. Memorials may be made to First Church of the Nazarene, Cracked Pot Ministry. Hazel Maxine Kohlbecker, Tuscola. Hazel Maxine Kohlbecker, 86, of Tuscola, Illinois, formerly of Springfield, Illinois, and Venice, Florida, passed away at 8:25 a.m. Friday, July 17th, at Carriage Crossing in Arcola. Mass of Christian burial will be held at 9 o'clock a.m. Tuesday, July 21st, at the 40 Martyrs Catholic Church, 201 East Van Allen Street in Tuscola, with Father Angel Sierra as celebrant. Visitation will be held from 5 to 8 o'clock p.m. Monday, July 20th, 2015, at the Hillegoss Schrader Funeral Home, 705 South Main Street, Tuscola. Graveside services will be held 12 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, July 21st, at the Camp Butler National Cemetery in Springfield, Illinois. Memorials are suggested to the Lewy Body Dementia Association, or TCHS, Athletic Fund. Sharon Lee Roy of Decatur. Sharon Lee Roy, 72, of Decatur, died at 5:15 a.m. on Thursday, July 9th, 2015. A memorial service to celebrate her life will be held at 2 o'clock p.m. on Monday, July 20th, St. John's Lutheran Church. Burial will take place in St. John's Lutheran Cemetery. A visitation will be held 1 hour prior to service, also in the church. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church. Marvin Eugene Schlosser of Decatur. Marvin Eugene Schlosser, 86, of Decatur, died at 6:45 p.m. on Saturday, July 11th, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A funeral service to celebrate Marv's life will be held on Thursday, July 23rd, 2015, at 12 o'clock noon at Life Foursquare Church, 2954 West Ash in Decatur. Pastor Dave Catron will officiate. Burial will take place in Point Pleasant Cemetery in Long Creek. Visitation will be held from 10 o'clock a.m. until the time of his service on Thursday. Memorials may be made to Life Foursquare Church or Decatur Athletic Boosters. Thomas E. Wisner, Decatur. Thomas E. Wisner, 84, of Decatur, passed away Wednesday, July 15, 2015, at Heartland Healthcare of Decatur. Services to celebrate the life of Thomas will be 10 a.m. Tuesday, July 21, 2015, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be 6 to 8 o'clock p.m. Monday, July 20, 2015, at the funeral home. Burial will be in Graceland Cemetery following funeral service with military honors conducted by the Macon County Honor Guard. Memorials in memory of Thomas may be made to the Gem and Mineral Club of Decatur. And now a story out of Shelbyville, written by Tony Reed, a staff writer for the Herald and Review. Frank Sinatra told us back in 1955 that love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. And excuse me, the title of this article is Road to Matrimony in a Shelbyville Chapel. Old Blue Eyes was definitely onto something there, judging by the popularity of a wedding chapel that also happens to be a horseless carriage. And whether your sexual persuasion is left-hand or right-hand drive, as it were, you'll find a warm welcome awaiting at the Best Man, which is the name of the Shelbyville-based mobile wedding chapel. Straight or gay, the chapel has always gone where the couples are to unite them in marriage and civil unions, wherever they want to be, by a lake, in a park, whatever trips their nuptial triggers. The farthest it's gone for a wedding so far is Wisconsin, straight couple, and that took about 10 hours, as its top speed is a shade over 60 miles an hour. It's also been out to New York City, but that was to serve as a prop for a Betsy Johnson fashion photo shoot. The chapel's growing internet fame since it was created by the television show Trick My Truck has spread far and wide. The mobile chapel is just one of the matrimonial options offered by Best Wedding Chapel Services, the wedding business run by husband and wife team Daryl and Lisa Best. They bill themselves as traveling wedding ministers and are happy to ride out to wherever you want your wedding. And if you don't want the whole mobile chapel thing, Daryl Best, who goes by Brother Best, will zip over on his trusty motorcycle. The couple also have two black and white former police cars as part of their wedding fleet. Lisa Best is ordained to handle weddings along with her husband and their children Levi, 27, Dylan, 24, and Reed, 21. And for those couples firmly wedded to tradition, the Best's home base is a circa 1879 former Catholic church, tastefully resurrected. They estimate that, using their mobile and permanent facilities, they have performed 1,000 weddings and other ceremonies since the business was launched in 2001, with a healthy sprinkling of those being gay unions. Same-sex couples have always been part of their clientele, first in civil unions, and then morphing into full-fledged weddings as Illinois law changed. Now, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court, Uncle Sam has blessed same-sex marriage from sea to shining sea. I didn't think that could happen as quickly as it did, said Daryl Best, 63. Even Illinois amazed me how quickly it got onto the program and made gay marriage legal in June of 2014. We were the last state for concealed carry, and yet Here, they were pretty much out front when it came to same-sex weddings. The land of Lincoln and the rest of the Union just appear to be catching up to where the bests have always been parked. Their motto is, "Love is our religion," and they believe that is the prime foundation for matrimony. "Straight or gay, we just marry people," explains Lisa Best, 56. "We make it low-key for everyone, and it's easy. We don't do counseling and all that. We think people have come to us because they are ready to get married." And she says while gay marriage is the novelty of the 21st century, the idea of love and marriage from an historical perspective is kind of novel too. "Marriage has only been based on love in the last couple hundred of years," she said. "Before that, marriage was families trading property, blending properties, blending businesses. It was a transaction. People didn't even know who their spouse was going to be." She says there is no guarantee a best marriage for love is going to last any longer than any other marriage, and they know of some of their unions, whether performed in the mobile chapel or otherwise, that went asunder. But so far, the same-sex unions seem to have a more stable footing, which she doesn't find too surprising. "Many of those couples have already been together for many years," she says. "Now they are finally able to get legally married, but they were married in their own minds long before. So you have extremely committed couples who have already been through the judgment of their families and their neighbors and everybody else who might judge them." Her husband cites the example of two women who came all the way from Florida to get married in the mobile chapel back in 2014. "And they already had been together for 35 years," he said. Overall, however, he does see more same-sex female couples getting hitched than male same-sex couples, no matter how long they've been holding hands. "I was talking to my oldest son, Levi, about that, and he said, 'Well, think about it, Dad. Guys aren't all that hep on getting married. It always seems it's the woman who kind of encourages it,'" Daryl Best says. "The common denominator with all same-sex or heterosexual unions is that everybody wants to get to the chapel on time or make sure that the chapel gets to them on schedule." Daryl Best, with the pride of a blushing bride, announces he's got that covered by owning the fastest hitching post on the planet. It turns out there is a Guinness Book of World Records category for this, and the best family's vroom with a pew, best man vehicle, holds the official title of world's fastest wedding chapel at 62 miles. From Decatur, written by Valerie Wells, a Herald and Review staff writer. Books are read at a good clip at some barbershops. Barbershops are often gathering places where men talk about life and sports and whatever comes to mind. Adult talk can be less than fascinating for kids, however, and while they're waiting their turn for a haircut, they need something to do. "We're always looking at things we can do to close the summer learning gap," said Bobby Williams, assistant superintendent for the Decatur School District. "Of course, we have Camp Connections and the other camps and all those programs, but not everyone participates. Even if you do, you have a month between the end of camp and the start of school." After seeing the idea in an article about urban school districts, administrators decided to try supplying some Decatur barbershops with books for the kids in the hopes of sparking a love of reading. "I was amazed when they came in," said George Burrell, a barber at Lockhart's barbershop. "Most kids come in on their phones. The books are used every single day. The kids love them." "The books are new, by authors popular with toddlers to intermediate age readers, and heavy on nonfiction, which is favored by boys," Williams said. "The books have been in three barbershops, including Lockhart's, Elevations, and Competitive Edge, for 2 weeks. If all goes well," Williams said, "the district will look into offering them to more shops." "We were thoughtful in our book choices because we want kids to be engaged," Williams said. "I'm really anxious to see how this goes. All three shops we selected as a pilot program serve a lot of Decatur public school kids. They were very supportive." Jerry Cole, manager at Elevations, said his shop is small with only two barbers, but when kids come in, they show them the books and encourage them to read while they wait. My mindset was, kids are getting much less information through the summer, Cole said. Their main focus is playing around, and to have the books is a great idea. An article out of Bloomington by Julia Evelsizer. Lincoln's Festival celebrates end of Civil War. The tall man with a stovepipe hat and recognizable mole shared the good news Saturday that he had received the Articles of Surrender from General Robert E. Lee, declaring the end of the Civil War. President Abraham Lincoln, portrayed by George Buss, held court Saturday in the Governor Pfeiffer courtroom at the McLean County Museum of History. Our country is now again one nation, he said during a presidential Q&A, part of the annual Lincoln's Festival in Bloomington. This year's festival focused on the 150th anniversary of the end of the Civil War, as well as Lincoln's assassination. The seventh annual event continued yesterday at several venues, including the History Museum, David Davis Mansion State Historical Site, Franklin Park, and Burr House Bed and Breakfast. The mansion lawns were dotted with Civil War reenactment camps, soldiers, and civilians. Alicia Andrews, 19, and her sister Sarah, 12, are Bloomington natives who grew up hearing the names Lincoln and Davis. The sisters volunteer at the mansion. We're portraying middle-class girls in the 1860s, said Alicia Andrews. We're wearing Garibaldi blouses made of lightweight cotton. It's typical morning or afternoon wear for this time period. They strolled through the canvas tents surrounding the mansion with parasols and lace fans to ward off the heat, which reached an index of more than 100 degrees. This was Alicia Andrews' second year volunteering at Lincoln Festival, and Sarah Andrews' first. David Davis was a trusted friend of Abe, said Alicia Andrews. It's cool to know Lincoln had close ties to Bloomington, the place where we grew up. Artis Stewart of Normal has volunteered at the Davis Mansion for 12 years, sometimes acting as Sarah Davis. On Saturday, she portrayed a middle-class woman from the 1860s. The festival is a lot of fun, said Stewart. People always ask if we are too hot in our costumes, but actually I'm probably cooler in this natural fiber dress and silk blouse than I would be in a t-shirt and pants. Michelle Harden of Aurora visited the festival with her husband, Philip, who plays the trumpet in the 33rd Illinois Volunteer Regiment Band. Harden has seen her fair share of historic festivals, but said this one has a different feel. I like this festival the best. Everything feels so authentic, and the setting for all the events is perfect, she said. An attendee to the Q&A at the History Museum asked Buss how Lincoln would have felt about people celebrating his achievements and turning his home into a museum. I'm hoping, in that celebration, they remember the cause for which he fought, he responded in character. And this article from Saturday, written by Huey Freeman, a Herald and Review staff writer, alleged Cheddar's thieves arrested. An alert citizen who found two masks while taking a walk helped detectives solve the armed robbery of a Forsyth restaurant allegedly committed by a former employee and a parolee. A few minutes before midnight on Saturday, two men, one armed with what appeared to be a rifle, entered Cheddar's Casual Cafe through the north door. The 39-year-old manager was ordered to open the safe. A suspect threatened to kill him if he moved. He later told police the suspects were wearing masks that appeared to be from the video game Call of Duty. After the suspects grabbed $1,100 and the manager's cell phone, they fled on foot, said an affidavit by Macon County Sheriff's Detective Matthew Whetstone. About 7 p.m. Sunday, an area resident found two masks along Hickory Point Road near Cheddar's. She called police, who recovered the masks. One bore the image of the Incredible Hulk, the other was an Ultron mask, resembling a Call of Duty mask, Whetstone wrote in a statement. After the manager identified the masks as the ones used by the robbers, Whetstone ascertained that Walmart sold both kinds of masks. A loss prevention officer at Walmart, 4224 North Prospect Drive, found that both masks were sold to a man at 6:40 p.m. Saturday. He provided video of the purchase to the detective. When Whetstone showed photos of the purchaser to a 35-year-old Cheddar's manager, he identified him as Isaiah Bellamy, a former Cheddar's employee. The manager said that when he first saw the video, he thought Bellamy was the first robber to enter the restaurant because of his short, stocky build and gait. Because Bellamy, 22, was on probation for a 2014 conviction of retail theft at Walmart, probation officers searched his East Side residence. Officers found an airsoft gun resembling an AR-15 assault rifle behind his bed. It closely resembled the rifle used in the robbery. About 4 grams of cannabis were also found in Bellamy's bedroom. In a police interview, Bellamy denied that he recently bought masks. He was then shown a photo of a man making purchases in Walmart shortly before the robbery, which he acknowledged to be himself. Eventually he stated, "I confess," the affidavit said. Isaiah admitted that he had committed the robbery and that he had used the money to pay bills and purchase the cannabis. Bellamy, who was arrested Thursday, identified his accomplice as Charles J. Jones, a parolee who was arrested Friday. Jones, 23, released from prison March 17th, served 2 years of a 4-year sentence for attempted armed robbery in a 2013 case. Bellamy and Jones are both being held in the Macon County Jail pending their arraignment next week. And finally, from the editorial page, Rauner donations don't feel right. No matter who is in charge in Springfield, it seems as if a brush with questionable conduct is never far away. That is why we were encouraged when Bruce Rauner was elected governor and promised a new way of doing business by shaking up Springfield. There is no doubt Springfield has been shaken up, but with the current budget stalemate, it seems a little more shaking may be in order. In the backdrop of the gridlock that has formed between Rauner, a Republican, and House Speaker Michael Madigan, a Democrat, is a decision by the governor to sprinkle a little cash on GOP lawmakers. The governor's decision to dole out $400,000 in campaign contributions from his political fundraising arm during the final days of the legislative session was unusual and not very wise. Checks worth $3,000 to $10,000 were sent to each Republican member of the House and Senate. While the governor obviously does not intend for it to look like bribery, considering Illinois' history, it's hard to blame those who view it that way. It's exactly the same thing Republicans complain about when Madigan hands out gobs of cash from his fundraising organization at election time. Rauner's donations may be technically legal, but they don't do anything to remove the idea that pay to play is rule number one in Illinois politics. Those who have accepted the money should return it, and the governor should cancel the checks that have gone uncashed. The ethical health of Illinois would be better for it. This has been Wendy Bauer reading from the Decatur Herald and Review on July 20th, 2015. Have a great day. Thank you.